Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today we have member extraordinaire, Travis Jenkins from, I think, Dallas, Travis?
Houston.
Okay. Yep. Travis is and has been our number one O2O offers to owners user and has taken the Land Academy program, in my opinion, to places that Jill and I have taken it and really has used it how we, Jill and I, intended it for it to be used at like an institutional business level since the beginning. So Travis, most of the questions that I have for you today center around that exact concept. Like, you know,
and welcome, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. So we had the good fortune to have a little bit of a pre-show discussion, but you know, when you joined Land Academy, did you intend to use it like as a super user and send out the level of mail that you're sending out? And did you intend it for this to be this successful for you?
I hope so. You know, I saw the potential of the business. And so I've been studying business models for several years, and I used to teach business. And so I'm going to give you a very indirect answer. So the goal was yes. From a business standpoint, there's a value triangle, and I saw that this is one of the few business models where you can fulfill all three sides of a value triangle, which is quick, fast, and cheap.
I love it.
Most times, you can either do it quick. I said quick and fast. So quality, fast, and cheap. That's it, actually what it is. So you can either do it fast with quality, and it's not going to be cheap.
Right.
Or any of those other two sides. And so when you can fulfill all three of those sides, it puts you in a different stratosphere as far as a business is concerned. I own a construction company. And so we sold value. So we didn't sell to the cheap, home improvement remodeling. We sold to the quality minded people, which meant we were not cheap, right? And so we always fulfilled those two parts of that triangle. And so that precluded us from slowing down during tough economic times because people with money still was doing remodeling.
Right.
We're still doing remodeling. And so it's just a way of looking at a business model. And so I saw that early on. I had also systemized my business to where I didn't have to work in it. And so it may sound like I'm brilliant and I come up with that on my own.
You don't sound brilliant. Don't worry.
Thank you for that. These ideas and these discoveries come from losing everything.
Yeah.
I had built a very successful business, and then I lost somebody in my family, and it took a very dramatic turn to where I wasn't able to be present in the business the way I should. And we were doing 7 figures a month. And so that business wouldn't operate or couldn't operate the way that it needed to operate without me being present. Ultimately, I tried to get it back on track, couldn't. Lost everything. And so went from being affluent, self-made, and I started out with nothing. So, you know, I made it on my own the first time. And so I thought it was the end of the world for me. And it was for a brief period of time. But my discovery or my real growth came when I made it back. And then I had clarity that success in business is actually a very flawed process.
Yep.
It's, you know, if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough, right? And so on a deeper level, I knew that. But so my real business acumen came when I had to make it. It took me 15 years to reach a level of affluence. After I lost it, I built it back in 15 months. And it's not because I'm special. It's because of a mentality and also the people that I surrounded myself with. I still had those connections. I still had the people that were willing to follow me for over a decade. And so I built on those things. And so I give you that background to say I've had my rear handed to me, and that's where my skills came from. My high level of assessing of what's going on, of tracking, of KPIs, of all of those other things. And then I started mentoring. I built back a multi-million dollar business, and I built another one after that. And then I started mentoring business owners because I really come to the conclusion that I only fit around other business people.
Right.
Yeah. If someone's not a business owner, they typically bore me because they have nothing to say that interests me.
It's such a different mindset. You know, especially if they're high up in a corporation, it just takes a totally different view of how things go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, I didn't agree with a victimhood mindset. I don't agree with thank God it's Friday. I don't, you know, so practically anything they say is absurd to me. Right. And so I just started mentoring people, and I thought, well, I love helping business owners. And then I started mentoring high level business owners. And that's kind of how I've got to a point to where I moved from working in the business, working on the business. Right. And so that freedom to not work in the business anymore. Right. One day I just said, I had the nicest office. I said, take my office. And my wife at the time was like, what? I said, take my office. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just quit coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and through so systemization,
yes.
Right. You know, I just had an awakening to where I was there, and people asked me questions because I was there.
Right.
And so I just systemized everything. I started writing out flow charts. This is how we turn the lights on. This is how we open the shop in the morning. This is how we do this. And so, and for a little while, people would call and ask me, and I'd say, well, look at the SOP. Look mm-hmm. at the SOP.
We have 9 lines of revenue right now. And I came to the realization about a year ago that when I show up in the office, I think we make less money and we're less effective. And I just wasn't providing operations value anymore. So now I run what we call, or what I call anyway, like the think tank. And I'm 3 or 4 or 5 months out front with these new products.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you on a personal note. This is the third time for me personally getting wealthy, you know, and the first time was just terrible that, you know, I didn't lose it all, but I'll tell you, it took a punch to the gut. Second time I knew I could get back on my feet again. But that first time that happens to you, that'll make a man out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a tough thing to go through, but it was necessary for me too, for mm-hmm. some reason. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm not sure why, but I totally identify with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
your identity's wrapped up in it, you know?
Right. In order to be really, really good at it, you need to take it personal.
Uh-huh.
People say, you know, it's not personal. No, it is personal.
Yeah.
It is personal. I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff.
So do we.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the acumen level has to be there. And so, you know, acumen normally doesn't come without you getting your rear kicked.
Right.
And so how many properties are you buying? Like, can you give us some raw numbers? Like how much mail are you sending out a month? How many properties are you buying? What's a typical deal look like for you? And then, where do you see it all in 6 months? Because I know how fast you're growing.
Well, so yeah, I'll throw around some numbers here. I try to track as many things as possible. We've did a little over 22,000 mailings in the month of August. I didn't know that we were the number one over there with OTO. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. We've done 124,000 mail outs. I don't really track the response rate. I do in every other type business, and I don't in this one because the sales lead gets better on the acquisition side, gets better with time.
Right.
And so that, you know, it's always improving. The ROI on mailing is off the charts.
Yeah.
So there's no need for me to worry about that.
Right.
The last 6 months has been us just trying to get out of our own way.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to set up staff members, SOPs, best practices. We moved from Trello to Airtable, lost major things, fell through the cracks, deals, all kinds of stuff. And so it's like driving 100 miles an hour with your hair on fire.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun. It's very stressful, and it's scary at times. In a good way.
So I find, you know, Jill and I, once the mail goes out, and this happens every month, mm-hmm. we get some deals back in. Some of them rise to the top because they're so amazing.
Right.
That we forget about tracking the statistics. This happened on Friday. You know, it's Monday now, but we got this property in, mm-hmm. and the woman didn't know she owned the property adjacent to it.
Right.
And so Jill tacked on another couple grand on the acquisition price because
she
rolls that way.
Yeah.
We're going to make, we've created $350,000 of value this month so far, and it's like the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped tracking the success rate after that happens also.
Because and Travis knows, it's because I'll get calls. I still get calls from 2005. You can't track that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they just found the letter and they're so happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I find myself, you know, I've joined, there's a call that I'll, that I show up on sometimes, and I find it's an advanced call, and sometimes I'm geeking out on stuff that everybody already knows there, but I can't help but wonder if everybody understands how profound this lead generation source is. You know, to generate, you know, I started Google when Google was brand new. You know, we had pretty much perfected radio and TV and tracking conversions.
Mm-hmm.
through unique phone numbers and stuff. And so I have a lineage. I've been in business for 28 years. And so, you know, I was in business way before the internet. And so the amount of time and effort that goes into generating this amount of leads on other platforms is off the charts. And most people don't realize it.
Right.
You know, I used to spend $130,000 a month on radio and TV alone.
Wow.
And so we dominated in the home improvement industry. I spend a fraction of that on these leads, literally a fraction. And those leads are very fickle. They start going bad. They're like fruit. I mentioned this to you guys. They have the lifespan of, you know, a day or two. And if you don't get a hold of them. And so, you know, we're very focused on getting back with these people, asking the questions, you know, all of those things. And so you don't have those barriers in this business. And that's a very, very big deal. So this business allows people with a lower level of business acumen to get into it. Right.
That's you know, a great point.
You know, what I love mm-hmm. about this business model is that, you know, as a teenager in my early 20s, I was always around manufacturing. which is such a fixed cost oriented business. You got to plow in so much dough before you even get off the ground at all. And what I love about this business is it's almost 100% variable costs. So if for whatever reason, you don't want to send some mail out next month and you don't want to buy some real estate next month, let's say you want to go to Tahiti, I don't care, whatever your reasons are. I can't think of a reason why you wouldn't do it, but you can turn it on and off. And there's, you know, you can do this out of your back bedroom really effectively. And it sounds kind of weird when you say it, but you know, you have complete and total control over how much money you make with, and it's predictable and consistent. So I don't want to sound like a commercial, but you know, if there was a better business, I would buy it.
Yeah.
I would be involved.
I second that, you know. Thank now, you. The decades it took me to set up a business that runs without me, a couple of decades, right? So this business, so there's four stages of competence, and I had to be in the fourth stage of competence of business within that industry and within business before I could let a business run without me or work remote. This business model, you can be in the early stages of competence, stage three, and work remote or collapse the overhead down. There's just so many movable things with this business model that a lot of people don't understand. And so the four stages is unconsciously competent, incompetent, which means you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Consciously incompetent, and I'm sure you guys know this already, is you now know what it is you don't know. Stage three is unconsciously competent, and you know how to do something, you don't know how to teach it. And then stage four is consciously competent, you know how to do it, and you know how to teach it.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to be able to teach this business model to other people to start prospering and start making the type of money that it took me 8 years to make off of my business. And so I could go on and on and on about the many different benefits of this business model, but I completely agree with you that there's just not anything out there that can hold a candle to it.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why I saw it for what it was early on. Just like I saw Google coming. I was on an airplane and I read about it in a magazine, and as soon as I landed, I called my wife and I said, "You're not going to believe this. We can capture customers in the buying cycle. They have their wallets out." She's like, "Oh, that's great, honey." And I said, "No, you don't understand." And so I had my laptop and I set up a campaign. And so we had tracking numbers back then. We use a specific phone number, and that would tell me where that lead came from. The next day I had two leads from Google.
That's great.
And I knew, and this is, you know, this was that type of thing. When I saw the business model, I saw the potential there for what could happen. Bless you.
Thank you.
So you know, I completely agree with you. It's not a commercial. It's a fact.
It's true.
I have business epiphanies all the time, and I charge into whatever room Jill's in.
That's true.
And I explain it just like that, and she says, "You know, that's great. Why don't you just crack open a beer and sit down and calm down and try not to have a heart attack, because it's going to happen again in 2 hours from now."
Yeah. You need to start texting me with those ideas.
Well, I will tell him.
Yeah,
that,
we should take Travis. It out on each other, Travis, yeah. Instead of
exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you need somebody to disappear off the end with those things, you know. Mm-hmm. Is my strength and weakness is I'm myopic at times, you know. I will drill into something and I will stay on it. And I'm a right brainer, so I train myself to do that. You know, most right brainers don't want to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from. We're getting back to your question earlier. We're stabilizing at right around 150 a month in revenue. We're very, very close to jumping to those next levels of 250, 350 a month.
Awesome.
I fully expect, and I've told you this before, I expect that we'll be at $1 million a month.
Yeah.
hopefully within the next 6 to 8 months.
Love it.
Again, it's there's no throughput issues in my construction company. If we sold $5 million worth of, or $2 million tomorrow, I couldn't produce $1 million tomorrow. Okay. Or $2 million or $5 million. I can sell $1 million or $2 million tomorrow without having a crew of 40. Right.
Yeah.
And so there's no throughput issues. That's another benefit of that business model. And so it's very easy to scale as long as you are willing to ante. And part of the ante is sending mail.
Yeah.
Our biggest challenge, and from day one to yesterday, our biggest challenge is staffing.
Totally.
Do you share that concept? Or what's your biggest challenge, let's say?
It depends on what you mean by staffing. We've got some really good people. Everybody's remote.
Oh.
And so we really like that when you hire people remote, it makes it easier to find the best of the best.
Oh.
Because most people want to work from home. And so I don't care what you're doing, as long as you're effective with your time.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to go into different areas. It's just, it just opened things up for us whenever you hire remote. And I've done that across other businesses. And so that's kind of where I've gotten that awareness from.
I'm going to take that as a piece of advice, actually. Mm-hmm. I just wrote it down.
Yeah.
We have some of our best people are remote, but they started in the office with us. So
Right. Maybe
we'll try that on this next round.
I think so,
round.
Too. Exactly.
We need to hire like 5 people right now. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I'm going to spend my day on after this.
Yep.
We're very, very candid, very blunt up front. I'll say, listen, yep. This is a great opportunity. We're willing to put you in a position to where you make good money. You have freedom, all of these other things, but we're going to hold you accountable.
Yep.
And time theft might as well be stealing something from my house.
Right.
Yep. Steal time, you steal money. We don't deal with thieves and, misrepresenting something. So we lay those things out we're very candid about that during the interview process.
Yes.
People that are concerned about that flinch during the interview process.
Yeah.
And that's our litmus test. We get them out right then.
So we just had a transaction coordinator that I was that way. I was very upfront and honest with her about it. I don't think she took me seriously. And at week 3, she very nicely said, I can't keep up with you
guys.
She
couldn't take it.
And she resigned on her. And it was all good terms. It was very sweet. She just said, I didn't know you guys were serious. I'm like, yeah, that's how we roll. And it just the volume, she wasn't really ready for it.
Yeah.
So, and it worked out fine. So, but I'm with you. Even like with all of our members, we do that too. We want to let them know up front that, hey, if you're afraid of a spreadsheet, if you can't answer the phone, there's all kinds of little things that
it's
you need to
work.
Be ready for. I mm-hmm. want you to know what you're getting into.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is there a personality type, Travis, that you look for when you hire?
From like a Colby standpoint?
Yeah.
No, I used to do the personality test. And so I'm really leaning more towards almost all of staff members are women because they're much better at multitasking.
Just had this conversation this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The best people I've ever had. And even now,
yeah.
Women.
You're welcome.
I know that's not very PC. I couldn't give you two you-know-what about PC anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact is women are just, they can set the ego aside. Our prospects would rather hear a female voice, in my opinion. They're just a better team member for what we're doing here.
Yes.
And so, you know, I almost hired a guy for some analytical stuff, just coding and other things. But pretty much, you know, I just also finding someone that needs a job rather than wants a job is critical to me. People that say they're high paced and they want a job tend to flake whenever they're pressed on.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas if they need to show up and they have that drive. And so those are the things that we're looking for. It's the interview is a full contact, you know, we're either going to scare you by talking to you or they're going to be excited. Right. And so part of where my construction business went so far awry is we become this gigantic commercial entity that doesn't say what it thinks. And everything is, you know, meant to be fluffy and doesn't hurt people's feelings. When you're very candid about your passion, your integrity, your business model, all of those other things, it either attracts them or repels them.
Right.
And so I've just, you know, that was a big lesson for me is, you know, I quit doing what got me there and started doing what I thought needed to be done rather than being more candid and just forthcoming about the whole thing.
We do an interview with a member just about every week, and it's not often that I actually like take notes and learn. So that's what I've been doing this whole time. We're going to change our hiring practices because of this.
Yeah.
So when you say problems with staff, what does that mean? Investing time with them only for them to flake a little bit later?
No, quite candidly, on my personal end, they, for whatever reason, and we're allowing this, it's not them, they feed us a bunch of lines about what they're capable of, and then we find out after it's a little bit late that they're just not capable of or interested at all in what and what they actually said they can do. They just wanted to get a job. And so now we've got this whole thing where there's a trial period and all of that, because undoing and doing W-2, it's just there's a lot of stuff to it. So, you know, I really like this this scare tactic thing. You're either going to be intrigued by how hard we come at you, or you're right, you're absolutely right, or it's going to scare the hell out of you. So I'm going to try that.
And I like it. You know, it's it's kind of the way my father was, is, you know, he'll bump into you, and it took me years to figure this out. He'll bump into you just to kind of check your temperature and see who's in there, you know? And so you can see when it's a hell yes for somebody, and you can see when it's a hell no for them. And that's okay too, you know?
So using this as a specific example with this last transaction coordinator, she was like, wasn't afraid of anything up front.
No, she wasn't.
I was still trying to figure out where we went wrong there.
I think that she was really good at learning one system at a time, not six at a time. And that's where it went, and needing to go that fast.
I'm mistaken. I believe, and I've done this my whole life for some reason, I just believe that real estate transactions should be like, you're born with it. It's like drinking a glass of water. And so when I met Jill, I never explained anything to her. First day, she just, this is before YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think everybody's innately like that. And it's just not the case at all.
I know.
People are used to a high level of training, and that just annoys the hell out of me, quite honestly. Yes.
Well, so I think what you're referring to is Jill's just naturally inquisitive, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think that that's part of the formula of success. I'm naturally inquisitive. I want to know why.
That's what Google is.
I don't have an agenda. I don't need, you know, I'm not trying to make a fake relationship with somebody over here. You know, why do you park like that? Why do you do that? Do you always order that? You know, and so you're just naturally inquisitive, right? Yeah. And so I think that's a great trait for somebody that's going to be successful, is they have a desire to understand. And so
my whole professional career is one big research session. That's all I really actually do for a living, is research and implement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, you know, you're the left brainer of the group, Jill's the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll find that any business person, that if they haven't found their counterbalance, they had to learn to develop that other side, you know, because you're started out mostly one side or the other.
Right.
And so for me, I'm a natural right brainer. And so early on, I thought other salesmen were half-heartedly trying when they couldn't sell as much volume as me.
Right.
And I took personal offense to it. You know, because, you know, I'm like, why are you only selling 50,000 a month? What's right. wrong with you?
Exactly. Shouldn't be that hard.
No, this is us. Right. And so even me and two of my other guys three of us could outsell 21 reps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the Pareto principle, 80-20, right? It's the 80-20. And so those guys wanted to be salesmen. They're not naturally salesmen.
Right.
And so that there was a competence issue. There was a confidence. There was a whole lot of other things going on with that.
Right.
Could you teach a sales course today? If someone said, hey, here's a microphone, stand up in front of this room and just, could you do a whole sales course for like 2 hours?
People have been asking me to do that too, like even books and things. That's one of the things that comes up. Heck yeah.
That's great.
Well, you know, somebody that naturally has the talent, once you're taught, you know, so once you're taught tactics, you can become lethal, mm-hmm. right? And so once I learned closes, once I learned tie backs, using their own words against them, all of those things, you're not going to convince somebody to do something that they don't want to do.
Exactly.
But you can close them using their own words.
That's what Jill does.
Right.
I know this because I'm married to her.
Right. You know, so she'll circle back to something you said 3 days ago. You said yourself that you were tired of XYZ, right?
Exactly. Jill, I took care of it for you.
Jill came home yesterday. It was Sunday.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
She showed me, she went to a jewelry store with her girlfriend. She showed me a picture on her phone of a ring. She said, what do you think of this ring?
Well, then what did I do this morning? I woke up and I said, don't buy me anything, by the way. I don't need any more rings. He was already going, where's the store? What do I do? And I'm like, no, I really was.
That's what I'm going to go do later.
So I'm just showing it to you. I don't need any rings.
He's
on the path.
Sales
to the store.
At its most perfect moment.
I didn't even I wasn't really trying to. I was just like.
Yes, you were.
Fine, but I don't need
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely you were.
Well, I don't need
Let's just call a spade a spade now.
So what happens is once you learn persuasion, the art of persuasion, once you become so good at it, it just becomes part of your DNA.
It's subconscious. Totally. I don't even think it's totally subconscious.
You don't know it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's just the way, you know, you're born with the natural gifts, but once you learn those other tactics and strategies, so that our sales person is Dana. And so I would listen to her. And so after the calls, I would critique her. Mm-hmm. And so people would call in and counter. And she would not get an agreement from them. Most people want to be in alignment with their own integrity. So we may be asking $30,000 for a piece of property. And so they would say, give you $25,000. So she'd come to me and say, would you accept $25,000? And I said, nope. And we didn't sell the property. And then I said, now next time, negotiate with him. And so same scenario, we're selling it for 30. He says 25. Now phrase it like this. Say, I can't do 25, but if I go to Travis and I get him to agree to 28, Do I have a deal with you today? He thinks about it. Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to put myself on the line for you here.
Right.
Let me go do that. So now he's given buy-in to his offer. And so that is a way that you tie him back to his own word, right? Now, when you call him back, if he isn't ready to pay that $28,000, then she's been empowered to say, now, wait a minute, David, you told me that you were willing to pay $28,000. I went and put myself on the line, got an agreement to this. And so normally you don't even have to do that. You know, you just call back or she calls back and says, good news, you're approved. How do you want to pay? Right?
You're approved. I like it. Mm-hmm. You're approved. Right.
And so she's basically went to bat for him. If you don't do that, people will flake on you. They'll say, okay, thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. But you can hold them accountable for their words. And so I hear people, you know, and I've heard on some of the calls, or, and I even forget the context it was in, that I think there's a misperception that people believe that sales strategies can convince someone to buy. Sales strategies don't convince someone to buy, it compels them to buy, right? They were already going to buy. Right. They're going to buy from somebody.
That's right.
Exactly.
Your tactic has compelled them to buy from you, right? And so that's just one of the many pieces of the puzzle of sales, of business, of, you know, all of the things that we're kind of talking about here.
Exactly.
There's no place that that is more true than actually our Land Academy and House Academy membership, because everybody finds us, you know, they're already looking for some solution, and they're usually business owners like you, other business owners. They're looking for a better product to buy and sell, and with that has greater efficiency and less fixed costs and all that. And we just, you know, my whole business model for Land Academy and House Academy itself is just to provide so much free information that you have to do it, you know? And so there's no real, I guess that's the way it just sells itself. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that because it sounds like a weird sentence, but it really does.
Yeah.
Or if it doesn't make sense to you, then that's fine.
Right.
But if it does, it does. And you're a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You're exactly the type of person that we want in our group.
Right.
Exactly. This is one of the reasons I wanted to have the interview with you.
Yeah.
Well, I think people either are going to get it or they're not.
Exactly.
You know, it's just end of story.
That's it. That's what my team does. It's just finding out, is this a good fit for them or not? Because if it's not a good fit, you know, then I don't want to undo anything in 6 months or 2 months or whatever it is. And I don't want them unhappy. So let's just not do it. And that's why we just got to properly, even with your hiring, whatever you're doing, you know, even selling a property, you know, we tell people you got to properly convey what the property really is. Even when you're selling a property, you know this.
Yeah.
You don't want them calling you in 90 days going, hey, there's no trees. I saw trees in the photos. There are no trees. You don't want that.
We give a 30-day money-back guarantee.
I love it. We kind of an underrated.
We don't advertise it, but we do. I mean, people come back years later and say, you know, we just didn't use it, and we'll buy it back for a certain price.
Well, for me, all I'm trying to do is just eliminate any friction from the buying process. You know, some of the older folks are really worried, you know, this is online, I'm sending my payment, all of that other stuff. So listen, 30-day money-back guarantee.
Yep.
You know, we wait 30 days before we convey the property to them, obviously, where we give them the opportunity. Listen, if you want to waive your 30 days, you want to waive your 30-day money back guarantee, then we'll go ahead and convey it to you right now. Here, sign this document and we'll sign it over to you immediately.
That's good.
So as a percentage, which one do they choose?
50-50.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
I like that idea. I hadn't thought about that.
Me too.
That's a really good idea.
We have most people that reserve the 30-day money-back guarantee are people from out of state.
Yeah.
And so they're moving to Texas. It just eliminates that barrier for them in buying the property. We've had one person take us up on it. And he just went to another property of ours.
Right.
Yeah, Jill does that all the time.
Swap out.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so just, you know, eliminating those things like that. I think as far as the trying to bring people into your organization, you know, the good ones are going to get drawn to you, and just don't sweat the rest.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Our membership retention rate is unbelievable. There's just no other way to describe it. I think we offboard maybe one or two people a month max. Usually it's zero.
You know, it's funny too. And we've had, I just watched it happen this month too. But people that sometimes life happens, and they end up take a break from us, but then they come back. It's so amazing and awesome to see members coming back, because whatever was going on, they solved it, or now they're committed. I've had so many calls of people that said, you know, I didn't take it seriously, and now I'm going to, and I'm in.
We always ask them too, why they're leaving. And it's always life. It's not like it doesn't work, or, you know, I just can't put the time into that I need to right now.
Yeah, it's life in the way. Mm-hmm.
But this business model is the lubricant of life.
I mean,
come on. I mean,
it is. You have to, some people that can't get that though. They have to.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a construction business that runs without me, but this business, you know, I'm working in this business on a regular basis until we get it to the level that, you know, and I enjoy the business, so I don't mind working in it, but I've done it. We travel all over the place. There is any place we want to travel to, we're looking at land as a business expense.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we do.
As far as Uncle Sam is concerned, I was looking at land on the beach in Puerto Rico. I mean, in a beautiful home. I mean, you name it.
Totally.
We're looking at land everywhere. And Uncle Sam is proud of me. He's funding all of it.
Yep. Yeah, they help us out too that way.
Yep.
Right. And so it's backwards. I think what everybody doing this should do is cut the crap. Quit making excuses and take imperfect action.
Exactly.
That's, you know, beautiful.
That's perfect.
This, all of this waiting for what's the right answer for this? How many am I going to get if I do this? Take some action. Right. Learn. That's what's wrong with school is learning is not memorization. You know, wisdom is the distillation of knowledge. So you got to apply it. You have to apply it. When you apply it, wisdom comes out of that. You know, I shared, and again, this was something too basic for the advanced people, but it's a micro and a macro thing, is the AMIR model. Implement, measure, evaluate, adjust, and repeat. Implement, measure, evaluate, adjust, and repeat. And so that's part of my DNA. I don't look at that acronym on a daily basis, but that's how we do things. The micro creates the macro, right? And so start doing those little things. Anything else other than that is just nonsense.
It's awesome.
That's outstanding advice, actually, for anybody who's thinking about getting into this, or who's been in it and is not seeing the results that they want. Cause we have a lot of questions like that. You know, we used to do this program called Add a Zero. And you just answered the question completely.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I told you before, I think this could be a $1 billion business.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
We're in the process of, we're talking to several private equity groups right now. We're going to raise start with $100 million. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to structure it, whether it's debt or equity. And we're going to do a whole program with houses specifically. Mm. Try to turn $100 million every 90 days, which we're using our own money now, and a couple of people in our group are funding some of the deals we do, but we're turning, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what the limit is. Let's just put it that way. I'm not sure there is a limit. At the moment, we're only limited by the people that are turning our deals. It's not the deals mm-hmm. themselves. It's the actual transaction coordination. That is our bottleneck, which is staffing.
Yep.
So the agents, so we call them agents, and the agent handles the lead all the way up to the point of acquisition. And so we have three people doing that right now, and we're building it in a modular way so that we can drop more and more people in. Excellent. We had to put a title person in that all they did every day was call and babysit and coddle the title deals in title.
Right.
And so where does your agent, or what do you guys call them?
Transaction coordinator.
Okay. Where do they start and stop in the entire process for you guys?
The transaction coordinator actually does the mail merge. They start that far from the beginning. And we're doing this in a modular way too, so that the actual transaction coordinator that we have now will hire the next one and train them. Mm-hmm. But they do the mail. I choose the county, the counties. Mm-hmm. And I choose, like, let's say the acreage, and I set the price. But outside of that, they take it from there, mm-hmm. all the way to the point where the property is acquired, and I approve the acquisition price at the end. Usually, mm-hmm. it's the what's on a purchase agreement or very, very close to it, and then we're out. Mm-hmm. All of our staff members take it from there, and they're held accountable to sell the property within 90 days, which mm-hmm. I think is actually a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Well, this is both for houses and for land. So,
right.
What do you think about that model? Like, what do you think about that, Travis?
Well, so I do something similar. I have a blown up map over here to the left of me of the counties, and so I spent a lot of time cogitating on where I'm going to go next. Even though I'm a right brainer, I love numbers. I have a natural tendency for numbers, and so I've been good at it. So I've created a spreadsheet where I've kind of dialed in all of the counties, 100 people per acre, or, you know, per square mile, and all these things. So I do just like you. I target the counties. I do the mailers. I do the pricing. I do all of those things. Our agents handle everything up to the even gathering the, is there utilities on the property? They gather all of that information, and then we have a team that promotes it that's completely separate. Because mm-hmm. that's a whole nother thing.
That's, we do right. too. We separate it too.
And so it's really funny. Our business models are, I know you don't teach those aspects of things because it can get so complicated, right? Right. Depending on how fast, you know, you want to scale this. It's simple if it's just you and, your spouse, but my model is very, very close to yours. Right. I'm hoping that me and you can put our heads together and start doing some of the commercial yep. acquisitions, because I'm going to need to get my average dollar value turn up considerably to start hitting the numbers that I want to hit.
Yep. That's our answer with houses. That's why we started House Academy, because especially in California, you can buy properties. We're buying properties at about $700,000 or $800,000 and selling for just shy of $1 million, trying to turn $100,000 profit on each wholesale transaction. And that's without improving the property in any way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, not even paint, and it's working. So that's my answer to get to $1 billion, mm. to place that $100 million and just continually add to it.
Well, I don't know if this is the right setting for it, but what would keep you from applying that thinking to commercial? Because that's where the big dollars come in per acre.
I'm totally open to that. I'll tell you what, I cut my teeth on commercial real estate back in the early 90s. And as a transaction, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Getting a commercial real estate property acquired successfully, there's so much stuff involved, you know, so that hasn't been something we focused on, but it's not anything that you couldn't overcome. Mm-hmm. But it takes, you know, to buy an office building or an apartment building, it takes a good 60 to 90 days if there's a lender involved. If there's not, that's different. And then the other thing is that, and you know this more than most, that decision to sell a piece of property from a landowner or a homeowner, our most successful deals are people that, thank God you called. Right. I need to get this done and out of my life. Right. And I don't think Class A apartment building owners are really looking at it that way. So I haven't tested it completely, but I'll tell you, we used to buy and sell long-term care facilities, nursing homes and assisted living buildings. And I don't ever recall someone saying, wow, thanks for calling. I really do need to sell my skilled nursing facility today.
Right.
But none of this stuff, you can overcome it all, you know.
Well, but so what if we put a finer point on it and we went after unimproved raw commercial acreage?
I love it. I love that we have deals like that right in now. Our inventory right now. And they are, from a dollars and from an ROI standpoint, our top performers, commercial land.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because the property, one single superstar we have right now was that exact thing.
Exactly.
We bought it from someone who was just like, you know what? I'm done with this.
That's it. It's true.
So yeah, I'd love to do some kind of commercial land venture and seek it out. We're doing a smaller version of it with Mike Marshall in our group right now in Los Angeles. So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's more of what I'm talking about. I think other opportunities are going to open up with the apartments with accelerated depreciation. There's a reason for businesses to move something out of their inventory and into another inventory. And that's a whole another conversation. That's a whole another business cycle, buying cycle, all of those other things. But just taking a page out of what we're doing, I look at commercial stuff now that it falls into the same category as what you're talking about. You know, oh my God, we're $200,000 behind on taxes on this property. This is a godsend. So I think those are the ones that we could, well, whether it's they're behind on taxes or whether they want to sell it or whatever, right now we're getting those properties just coincidentally.
Yeah.
Whereas we could be more strategic,
exactly
right,
about where those are. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, with our acumen is just it. We amaze ourselves when we go back 4 months from what we were doing 4 months ago.
Yeah,
because you know I'm looking at Dana like, why are we buying this thing?
Right.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did
beneath us. What the heck?
Yeah. How did this get in? How did this get in here? You know? Yep. And so, you know, we're seeing new things, you know, we constantly are talking about these different levels, you know, and then I'm thinking on new levels of mailers, of ways to go in. And there are untapped markets all over the place.
Exactly.
We call them lines of business. We're constantly opening lines of business. My personal goal is to open a new line of revenue every month until we get to a certain financial goal we have. Right. And we're on track. It's working.
Exactly.
So if we took the same thought process and went after very targeted commercial property, there shouldn't be any reason that we couldn't generate many, many millions of dollars a month doing just that alone. Right?
Last time I checked, we have the data.
We have the data and the capital and all of it. So, I mean, we should just send a mailer out together, you and I. That's what I think, and just see what comes back.
Perfect.
I think I would love to do that, like high-end commercial property, like urban commercial property.
Right. And, you know, we're regularly moving into more and more high-end areas. I'm unfazed by nasty letters or comments. We get a tickle out of it. You know, Dana still reads some of them. I'm like, why are you doing that? It's a waste of time. You know, all I want to know is, do you want to sell?
We accidentally hit an oil and gas area in eastern New Mexico in this last mailer. And
it's funny.
So, I mean, one guy said to Jill in a very lighthearted way, the amount that you're offering for my 20 acre property wouldn't cover the cost of the porta potties that we have on the property right now.
It was so awesome.
That's how I know I priced it right.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't offend me at all. You know, a matter of fact, if people don't squawk enough, I'm concerned.
Right.
Right. You know, I'm concerned.
Unfortunately, man, we're out of time, but I will. I'll put like a basic term sheet together and get it over to you on email. And maybe we should send a mailer out together. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think we have a lot to offer each other at the level where we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, awesome. I agree with you. So, and we need to kind of flesh that idea out. So that, you know, cause I'm going to have to invest in, some staff members that can be dedicated to those types of things. I don't know if we're still rolling. Are we having a side conversation or did you want
to? Not yet. I got to end it here.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
And then we'll talk.
Yeah. Okay. Right. We know your time's valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with us today anyway. Join us next time for another interesting episode.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community found at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.